I am convicted by this woman with the issue of blood, which we have heard preached so many times and for so many years. I am convicted by the faith and the boldness of this woman with the issue of blood. For according to the law of the time, she had no right to be in the city. She had no right to touch Jesus. She had no right to even be close to Jesus. Yet her condition propelled her, pushed her, motivated her to go beyond the rules and the regulation of the time, to break protocol, because she was so hungry and so desperate for her miracle. She said, I'll do whatever I have to do to get what I have been seeking to do. According to the law of that time, for her to enter the city was risky business. They had authority to pick up rocks and to stone her because she was considered an unclean woman. In fact, it goes even further. For her to walk into the city, she had to announce that she had shown up. In other words, she'd have to come into the city gates and say, hey, the unclean woman is here. Could you imagine having to walk into church and announce your sin? Hey, the liar's here. Hi, how are you doing? Imagine having to walk in here and announce all your business. I know some people do that on Facebook. Anyhow, she had to walk into the city. And so this woman is taking calculated risks, dependent on that she had heard that Jesus had come to the city, and she was hungry for a miracle. And when she entered into the city, she found a multitude of people with hands outstretched, saying, Jesus, touch me. Hey, Jesus, touch me, Jesus. Touch me, Jesus. Jesus, I need you to touch me. Jesus, look upon my need. God, come by my situation. Lord, come by here. God, somebody's praying. Come by here. Lord, I need you to touch me. And she saw the multitude waiting on the touch. Yet this woman comes in with a different attitude. She has suffered for 12 years. The Bible tells us that she has spent all her money. She has gone to doctors. She has tried every remedy. She's tried every home remedy. Do you know about home remedies in Central Illinois? Maybe it's a Latino thing, but those home remedies will kill you. I mean, if the disease doesn't, the home remedy will kill you. I have a mother-in-law, God bless her soul, that anytime you get sick, she'll say, what did the doctor say? And you'll say, well, this is what the doctor said. Ah, the doctor doesn't know what he's talking about. What you need, and by the time I'm sure she's trying to kill me with the things that she's told me to take in my body. This lady had tried probably home remedies. She had tried medicine. She had tried everything, and it was to no avail. The Bible says she was even worse than when she began. But she hears that Jesus has come to the city, and there is a multitude waiting on a touch, and she comes in with a different faith because she says, I have waited too long for a miracle. I did not come to the city waiting for Jesus to touch me, but I have come to touch him. There is a difference in the expectation of the multitude and this woman. The multitude is willing to wait for a touch. She says, I can't wait for the touch. I am going to go to where he is, and I am going to touch him. And if I have to push a little bit, and if I have to crawl a little bit, and if I have to wrestle a little bit, I'll do whatever I have to do. But I'm determined that I'm going to touch him, even if it's just the garment or even the hem of the garment, because I am convinced that if I can touch something that has touched him, I will be made whole. This woman is convinced that if you touch God, you will receive what you came seeking. And the Bible says that as she did it, Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? And the apostles, not understanding that this was God robed in flesh, they said, hey, Jesus, you know, we love you. We love working for you. But, you know, they're all touching you, Jesus. I mean, they're all pressing around. I mean, I don't know which one you want me to pick. It's all of me. He said, no. Everyone's looking for a touch. Everyone's looking for a blessing. But there's someone that stands out in the crowd because they have pushed, they have pressed, and they have touched my garment. I am here to tell you that people that receive miracles, people that have the favor of God, those kind of people that are always walking in unexpected blessings and unexpected testimonies and good things are happening to them, are people that know how to press through obstacles, press through situations, and even though their situation would say wait for the touch, they are the kind of people that can push through and touch the garment of God with their praise. Good miracle people are people that know how to praise the Lord. I grew up in a family that, you know, my parents were pastors, and my father was a praiser. My dad loved to praise God, and my dad was a radical praiser. My father had been raised in Colombia, and they had had bombs put in their church for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They had been stoned on the streets for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. My father told me that in the city of Bucaramanga, I didn't just speak in tongues, in the city of Bucaramanga, he had been preaching on a street corner, and priests, Catholic priests and some leaders of the city had come and began throwing rocks at the revival, and they had left him unconscious on the city corner. And I said, Dad, what'd you do? Did you file a lawsuit? Did you sue somebody? Did you get even? He said, I got up, I cleaned myself up, and I keep preaching the gospel, and I kept playing my guitar. This was a man that learned how to praise God in adversity that you and I have never had to face. My grandmother told me that they would be praising God, and they would throw smoke bombs in the church to try to smoke them out. And I said, Grandma, what did you call 911? Did you call somebody? You tweet someone? She said, we'd gather around the smoke bomb, and we would just dance around the smoke bomb until the bomb would turn off, and then we would just keep on having church. They said their neighbors put poison in the water well to kill off the evangelicals, but rather than get sick or rather than die, they got healthy. And the same people that poisoned the well then gave their life to God. These are people that knew how to praise God in adversity. They knew how to praise God in trial. Between you and me, if somebody poisons the water well, I'm going to sue. I'm going to get upset, and you're going to see about it on Facebook. I'm going to demand some, there's going to be some apologies in my future. Praise God when people are attacking me. Praise God when I'm going through a situation. I would say that this is time to call and say, God, where are you? Yet miracle people know that when times get tough, it's time to praise the name of the Lord. And so my father was a praiser. He was a radical praiser. My dad was the kind that when church would get good, he'd take off his suit jacket and he'd start doing this in church. And I used to get embarrassed. I'm like, Dad, my God, there's visitors here. I mean, you know, we didn't have all the technology, but you know, we had VHS cameras at that time. I'm like, you know, Dad, the people are seeing you're up there wagging your suit coat in front of everybody. I'm like, it's distracting. Why do you do that? And my dad said, don't you ever, Latina, don't you ever question. Just because you said something, I'm going to do it even more. I'm going to be more fanatic. My dad was fanatic. He had someone make him a Jesus flag. And so now he had a flag that said Jesus, and he had a suit. I mean, and he would praise God and be a radical. I mean, just doing crazy stuff. And I said, Dad, why do you do all of that? He said, have you ever seen at the airport when the airplane is landing and there's someone out there on the runway letting the airplane know where he's going to land? He said, I'm out here letting the Holy Ghost know where to send the blessing, where to send the rain, and where to send the fire. Lord, if you're going to bless anyone, bless me. If you're going to send favor on anyone, send it on me. I don't, you don't know me and I don't know you. All I know is that some of you are Cub fans, and so you ought to really listen to this sermon. I don't know how bad your situation is. I don't know how many times you've lost in your life. I don't know how bad it's been for you, but I'm here to prophesy to you tonight that if you can give God praise in the middle of your situation, I'm here to declare to you that heaven will descend on your hell. Well, I will praise him, Pastor. I'll praise him just as soon as God heals me, just as soon as he does the miracle. Whoa, just as soon as, I guess the platforms of Cub fans too. Just as soon as God does the blessing and the miracle, I'll praise him because he's been good. You have misunderstood what praise is. Praise isn't a reaction to what he does. Praise is a commandment in scripture. Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord. And there's no disclaimer and there's no asterisks on Psalms 150. That means you don't just praise him when it's a good day. You don't just praise him when everything worked out. But in everything, let the people of God praise ye the Lord. Because praise has nothing to do with circumstance. It has everything to do with the majesty, the royalty, and the power of King Jesus of Nazareth. For far too long, and thank God it doesn't happen here, but in Virginia Beach, people would treat church like it was the movies or the theater. For some of you that don't go to the movies, so they treat it like the theater. What's the church going to do today? If they bless me, Who's preaching? Suarez? Oh, God, I went to camp with him. Who's preaching? Bishop? Is it Bishop? Ooh, I love it when Bishop preaches. Who is Pastor? Oh, okay, all right. I'll praise him anyhow. Who's singing? The guy that wears the same, you know, worship leader and I, we must have hit up the same friends and family discount this week. But I thank God that we're in tune and wore the same outfit to church tonight. Praise God. Thank God for the Banana Republic. Hallelujah. There are people that treat church like it was a theater. They react to what I love. Ooh, I love that song. That's my song. Ooh, I can praise them on that one. We had a deacon in our church in Chicago, got saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, serving the Lord. And one night we were having a meeting at a Mexican restaurant. Don't stereotype us, but we were at a Mexican restaurant having a board meeting, and all of a sudden the mariachis gather around us and they start singing some song. I don't even know what it is, but they start singing. Dun, 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 dun. I mean, they're going on, and the deacon's sweating. And at one point he told me that, he goes, Pastor, I'm sorry. He goes, I'm sorry. That was my song. Still had something in it. But there are Pentecostals that do this. Ooh, when they sing my song, I'll praise God. When it's camp meeting, I'll praise God. When my preacher comes, I'll praise him. You have misunderstood why we come to the house of God. The Bible says, enter into his house with thanksgiving in your heart, into his courts with praise. We didn't come to receive. Now, we receive because he's a good father, but we didn't come to receive. We came to give. We came to give praise. We came to give glory. And as a result of what we give, we're going to receive a blessing. But I'm here to declare to you, I don't know how bad it is. I don't know what you're going through, but let the redeemed of the Lord praise him tonight and watch what God will do for you. My wife was diagnosed with leukemia about 2.5 months ago. The doctor said it's a less than favorable outcome. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know what to believe. We didn't know what we were going to say. And I'm sitting in a hospital room with my wife at 2 a.m. trying to figure out what life is going to bring our way. And I said, God, where are you? God, what are you going to do? And you know what God said to me in the hospital room? He said, Tony, praise me. Praise me. I said, could you maybe give me a word first? Maybe just a prompt. Just give me a crumb for something. And he said, praise me. Praise me. I have learned in the most difficult situations of my life that when I praise God, God will show up in my situation according to the level of my praise. I'm here to declare, if you need something small from God, go ahead and give him a small praise. But if you're in need of a big miracle from God, give him the best praise of your life and watch how God will show up and move for you. Well, but Pastor, you don't know. I dare you to praise God and watch him show up. Watch him inhabit your praise. Watch him inhabit your bank account. Watch him inhabit your marriage and your money and your family and your body and your health. Watch what happens when you praise God. Now, it's easier said than done and easier preached than practiced. But I have the authority tonight to preach it to you. Because when my wife and I got married almost 12 years ago, they had told us that we wouldn't be able to have children. And then came baby number one, and the doctor said, love him because you'll never have any more. Then came baby number two, and the doctor said, love her because you for sure, this time for reals, you'll never have any more. Then came number three, I'm suing that doctor. He's going to pay for them to go to college. But when our second child, my daughter Michael, when she was born 8.5 weeks early. She was a preemie. She weighed 3 pounds. It was a Sunday afternoon. I had to preach that day. She was born. She didn't have the bones in her chest had yet to form. All of that was collapsed. And that was a Sunday, March the 18th. And I have to preach. My daughter is born. She's not breathing. Lungs collapse. No bones. No chest bones. My wife is taken to ICU. They take my daughter to NICU. I never get to hold my baby in my arms. This is, you know, there's something when you have a daughter. I mean, the boys are cool. I love my boys, but there's something about a daughter. I mean, oh my God. And I can't even hold her. I was in love with her before I ever saw her, and I can't even hold her in my arms. They take her and they take everyone away. I'm alone in the hospital room, and I asked the nurse, I said, ma'am, is everything okay? And she said, Mr. Suarez, somebody has to be realistic. I said, what does that mean? She said, the baby's not, not nice. Not like on ER. They didn't sit me down in a chair, give me a tissue, little back rub and just break the news to me. Just like this. She said, someone needs to be realistic. I said, what does that mean? She said, the baby's not breathing. She said, you have to be strong for your wife. The baby probably won't make it through the night, and you're gonna have to be strong. And she leaves the room, and I gotta preach like that. I'm sitting in the room. I said, God, what do I say? I mean, what do you do? What do you do when you get news like that? And I start talking to God in the room. I said, God, I can't forget preaching. Oh my God, I don't even know what to say. And God speaks to me in that hospital room, and He says, Tony, praise me. I said, praise you. He said, praise me. I said, God, oh, okay. We'll get to that in just a second. But this thing about preaching tonight, I can't preach. How do I preach? How do you prophesy when you need the prophetic word? How do you encourage when you need to be encouraged? And God said, you will preach to my people tonight because you have been hard on them. You have told people to praise me through cancer. You have told people to praise me when they're at the brink of bankruptcy. He said, now you will practice what you preach. Now, let's be honest. Between you, me, and the CD, it is a lot easier for us to give advice than to take our own advice. We have the gift of telling other people what to do. We are good in telling other people to go on a Daniel's fast or a 72-day fast or walk on water. It's another thing when you have to do that fast, my beloved saints of the Most High God. It's another thing to have to eat your own advice. And God said, you will now practice what you preach. And I said, God, that's easier said than done. He said, not only will you preach tonight, but you will praise me. I said, God, how do I praise you in this situation? And I said, God, I make a promise to you tonight. If you'll heal my daughter, God, if you'll move on behalf of my daughter and you'll heal her, I said, I will praise you like I have never praised you before. God, I will give you the best and the highest praise I have ever given you before. And God said, no. You didn't think that was coming. He said, no. He said, because I'm tired that your praise always has strings attached to it. I'm tired that you can't praise me unless I do something for you first. He said, whether she lives or I know this is going to sound rough, but whether she lives or dies, I am God and I am worthy to be praised. Regardless of what happens in the situation that you're living through right now, He is God and He is worthy to be praised. And He said, you will praise me not for what is in this room and what is taking place here, but you will praise me because I am the Lord your God. God, I'm just asking. It's just curious. I'm being nosy. When's the last time you praised God and it wasn't for a house? It wasn't for a car? It wasn't for a boyfriend? It wasn't for a raise? It wasn't for an increase? When's the last time you said, God, this praise is just because you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? When's the last time you said, God, this has nothing to do with me and everything to do with you? I lift you up because you are the Ancient of Days, the Mighty One who is worthy to be praised. And so I went to church that night troubled, not understanding what God was asking me to do. And between you and me, not really feeling like praising God. I learned that you can praise God and not even feel like it. We'll get to that in just a moment. But I showed up to a so-so service. You know, in Spanish we say miti miti. So, kind of good, kind of bad. You know, kind of like that. And I showed up and they were doing okay. And I'm just standing over and, I got my preacher chair. We had it set up nice in Norfolk. I got my little recliner over there. Got it all set up nice. And, you know, the man of God walks in the room and the armor bearer comes, bring me the towel. Pastor, how you doing? I said, I'm doing good. I'm over there in my preacher chair. And all of a sudden, God says, praise me. I said, in this song? This ain't even my song right now. He said, praise me. Oh, God, forgive me. I mean, it was a forced praise. Well, Pastor, I just got to feel it so that I can praise Him. No, you don't. The Bible says that there's life and death in the tongue. Sometimes you don't feel anything, but you speak it.
And when you speak it, you'll speak it into existence. And what you said, you'll begin to see and you'll begin to feel. I did not feel like praising God, but I had the praises of God. This is why the Bible says, let the praises of God continually be on my lips. I said, God, I love you. I don't understand you, but I praise you. And I began worshiping God and I began dancing in the presence of the Lord. And I began, I don't know what I was doing, but I was acting a fool in the presence of God. And I opened my eyes and noticed I was the only one acting like a fool. There was people huddled around me. We had a new church, but we had some people that would come from another church to help us. And there was some old ladies that just gathered around. They had like this morning with the hankies and they're just waving me down. Oh, Señor bendice el pastor. God bless pastor. Oh, God bless pastor. My assistant's looking at me. He's like, everything okay? Are you okay? I'm all right. Don't mind me. I'm the only one. I'm the only one praising God. I'm the only one doing anything. And so, you know, sometimes I don't know what I'm doing. This way I should keep notes when I'm preaching. And so I just kind of danced out the side door, went to the parking lot, had the mic in my hand, went to the parking lot, got a bunch of rocks, came back in the service. I said, just be honest with me today. How many are having a bad day? Just be honest. It just, this been a bad week. And here come the hands with the Pentecostal cry. Yeah. Here come the hands. I said, don't worry. If it's been a rough week, you don't have to praise him. If you don't feel like doing it, that's all right. You go ahead and sit down. And here come some good people. Just, thank you, pastor. Start sitting down. And I took the rocks and I started putting them on the pews. I put them in the altar and I put them on the platform. I put one on the pulpit for me. Put one over there by the musicians. I said, it's okay if you don't feel like praising them. That's all right. Because the Bible says if you won't cry out, these rocks will cry out for you. I said, but one way or another, God's going to get praise in this house, whether it's you or whether the rocks, but God's going to be lifted up in this house. Let it never be said that they had to get rocks at Christ's tabernacle for Jesus Christ to be high and lifted up in this place. But I want you to know, whether it's you that's been washed in the blood or the rocks, one way or another, he's going to be high and lifted up in praise. It might as well be you who's washed in the blood. It might as well be you that's been called a co-heir with Christ. It might as well be you who's full of the Spirit. It might as well be us. I praise God like a crazy man that night. I even copied my dad. I took my jacket off and said, God, I need you. I went to the hospital that night and watched my daughter in an incubator fighting for her life, tears, and I don't know what's going on. And I'd hear God say, praise me. And I'd say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I didn't feel it. I didn't say, blessed be the name. I just said, blessed be the name of the Lord. I'd go to the car. And I came back the next morning. She was still alive. And God said, praise me. I said, I love you, Jesus. And I'd go back and I'd come back. And my wife and I, 7, 8, 9 days, doctor met with us. Doctor said, well, he said, we have some good news and then some other news. He said, the good news is your daughter's still alive. He said, that's great news. He said, she's been fortunate. He said, now here's the bad news. Here's the news, he said. We don't know if she'll ever be normal. We don't know what's going to happen. You have to be prepared that she could die at any moment. They said, we suspect that she will live in this hospital for about 9 to 12 months if she makes it. She probably will never walk. We will feed her through a tube for several years, and you have to be prepared for the worst at any moment. And I heard the doctor say that, and I heard God get in my ear, and he say, praise me. And in my head, I'm thinking, right now? Now? Praise me. I said, well, thank you, Jesus, doctor. He said, I'm sorry? I said, you wouldn't understand. Never mind. I didn't even try to explain. Sometimes you can't even explain what's going on. I said, okay. And I went, and so this kept going on 7, 8, 9, 10 days. And I learned there came a moment in the trial where God no longer had to push me to praise him, but it would just come out of my wife and I. There was a change in us where we no longer had to be cheer-led to worship God or pushed and prodded to worship God, but it just naturally came out of us. And there came the day where my wife and I, in front of the incubator, said, God, we don't know what you're doing in this situation. We don't know what you're going to do for our daughter, but we want you to know that we love you, we serve you, and we'll praise you all the days of our life, irregardless of what happens here. And that's easier said than done, but irregardless of what happens here, we declare, blessed is the name of the Lord God. We love you and we worship you and we will praise you all the days of our life. And there is a change. I can't explain it to you. I didn't say it's theology. It's just something I've experienced. There is a change in what happens in your relationship with God when God knows that your praise is genuine, that it's real, that it's authentic, and it's not just strings attached. You're not just going and coaxing him out of another gift or out of another blessing. When he knows that your praise is born out of true love to him, irregardless of what the circumstances, I believe you obtain a level of favor with God that you did not have before. And I'm a living witness of it, because there came the day when they let me alone in the room with my daughter and I felt the boldness of the Lord come on me. I told my wife, the doctor, the nurses had left, and I told my wife, I said, honey, go watch the door. She said, what are you going to do? I said, woman, I don't know, I would never talk to my wife like that. She would karate kick me. I said, honey, just please consider go watching the door for just a moment. I don't want to say anything, because if we go to jail, I want to go to jail without you. I said, just go watch the door. Don't worry about what I'm going to do. And I went to the incubator and I said, God, whatever happens, I told you, I'll praise you. Whatever happens to my daughter, I told you and I made a promise to you, I will praise you. And God, in fact, right now, blessed be the name of the Lord. I said, however, I have read your word, and I have read that Elijah blew on a dead boy, and when he blew, you raised him up, and I have read that you are not a respecter of persons, therefore, if you did it for Elijah, do it for me. I said, honey, watch the door. And I looked at my daughter and I said, I don't know. I mean, sometimes an act of faith isn't like, you don't always, I mean, we have this expectation that to operate in faith, you just have to be like, you know, Superman all the time. Or there are sometimes that an act of faith is cautiously just saying, in the name of Jesus, and putting your foot out there. I said, Jesus, if you did it for Elijah, I said, baby, in the name of Jesus. And when I blew on her, and I'm not going to be breathing on people tonight, but when I blew on her that night, her little body bounced up. She has no bones in this picture, but in one miracle moment, God formed all of the bones in her chest. They just popped out, and it never caved back in. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. The monitor started beeping. Beep, 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 beep. The nurses ran into the room. They said, what's wrong? And they looked at my daughter. They said, oh my God, it's a miracle. I'm here to prophesy to someone today that when you praise God, God's going to give you a public miracle. I know you've suffered in private, but God's about to bless you in public. Yeah, even in the presence of your enemies, your critics, and those that despise you, God's about to do a public work. They said that my daughter wouldn't live. She's 9 years old, and God threw in an extra baby along the way. Why? Because he is still the miracle working God. That day in that hospital room, when the nurses saw my baby, the monitors beeping, beep, 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 beep. And they said, what happened? I said, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. She said, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Yo no sé. Yo no hablo English. I don't know. And they start checking the computer. And the lady said, this is very interesting. This is a miracle, but this can't be. I said, what? She said, according to the computer, your daughter is breathing on her own and no longer needs the respirator. She doesn't need the machine. This is broken. This can't be this. And so they sent for another machine. And they sent for another machine to connect to my daughter. And they ran and they brought in the other machine. And while they were running in the other machine to connect it to my daughter, my little baby girl, who's only about 10 days old, said, spit the tubes out of her throat, and up until today has never had another tube down her throat, because in one miracle moment, God healed my daughter. And I am convinced, and you can't change my mind, I am convinced that God did it because I praised a miracle into my situation. I'm here to prophesy to you. I don't know what your situation is, but your praise could cause heaven to come to earth. Your praise could cause the miraculous miraculous to take place in your life. I don't know who feels like their babies die and their businesses die. Praise God and watch what He'll do. Oh, would you give God praise in the house? Musicians and singers, come. Would you give God praise in this house? Come on, church. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I feel heaven invading the sanctuary as you praise Him. That little girl is my testimony to the miracle working power of God. Musicians and singers, please come. She is my living testimony to the miracle working power of God. They said she wouldn't live. She's 9 years old. They said she wouldn't walk. She walked when she was 9 months old. They said she wouldn't be able to eat. Now, I can't crack this joke because she's getting older, but she's got the same gift of eating that I do. Hallelujah. They said she would never be normal. That's the only thing they got right. She's not normal. She's a miracle product of the Lord Jesus Christ. They said we wouldn't have any. There's one miracle. There's two miracles. There's three miracles. And I'm here to declare to you that God is not a respecter of persons. If He did it for me, if you knew me, I'm a mess. If God could bless me, He can bless you. He can bless your family. He can bless your marriage. So don't think that this is something that God only does for a few select people. Anyone that'll have faith in God, God will move on your behalf. I don't know what's going on, but if you praise God... So when my wife got sick, and I'm ending, you can stand with me because I'm done. When my wife got sick with leukemia, in that hospital room, God said, praise me again. And I had to remember my own sermon. I had to remember what I've told other people to do for the last 9 years. And inside of a hospital room with a death sentence, my wife and I began to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. We don't know what's coming next week. We don't know what's coming next month. We don't know what's going to happen, but blessed be the name of the Lord. The doctor said it's a less than favorable outcome, but we said blessed be the name of the Lord. And through chemotherapy for 37 days in the hospital, blessed be the name of the Lord. When they said we don't think we can help you, we said blessed be the name of the Lord. We would praise God every time Brother Bustard or someone would call with a promise. We would write it down and we'd hang it on the walls of the hospital room. When the doctors came in the first day, she said, oh my God, what is all this? I said, this is the word of the Lord. This is the prophetic word of God. I mean, she didn't even understand. Indian doctor. I said, this is the prophetic word of the Lord. I said, I'm going to receive every report you give through the lenses of the word of God. I said, I thank you for what you're doing. And I said, my faith and science don't conflict, because whether God heals through a pill, through a doctor, or through the prayer of faith, it's still God. So he'll get the credit anyhow. We covered the room with promises. We covered the room with every time someone would call and give us a word, we'd hang it on the wall. And in that time, my wife tells me that she woke up one morning and there was a nurse that was against one of the walls in the hospital room doing this. My wife said, I didn't want to disturb her, but she's just standing there. She said, it's about 5 a.m. and the nurse is doing. And then she came to treat my wife. And my wife said, ma'am, I just saw you over by the wall. You look like you were praising God. And the lady said, I knew God as a little girl. She said, I walked away from God a long time ago. She said, I need God in my life. And she said, I don't know. She said, I don't know who you are. She said, this is my first night helping you. All I know is that when I walked in this room, she said, there is an aura of energy and faith. I mean, I know they can't explain it, but they can feel it. They can sense it. She said, there's an aura of energy and an aura of faith in this room. And she began to pray with my wife. I'm here to declare to you, you can go through hell and high water, but if you'll praise God, God will use your situation to bless other people. They said it was less than a favorable outcome. They told my wife, you're going to be in the hospital for at least 6 months with us. But after 42 days, that same Indian doctor came in and said, she said, Reverend, you better get ready to put this on Facebook. I said, put what on Facebook? She said, it's a miracle. She said, I got great news. I said, what? She said, after 1 month, this leukemia has already gone into remission. She said, we weren't expecting it, but God, she said, your God, she goes, he must be doing something for you. I'm here to tell you that when God blesses you, he'll cause even your critics, your enemies, and your bystanders to testify to what God is doing in your life. We're not out of the woods just yet. My wife has to go and have a stem cell transplant. But even through all of that, and I close with this. I don't know why I close with this, but this is what I feel close with. For about 6 to 7 months, every time I check my phone, it's 9/11. 9/11 a.m., 9/11 p.m. It's the first time I've admitted this publicly, I think. And I got to the point where I was getting scared. Lord Jesus, what is it? At first, I thought it was a coincidence. Then I started getting nervous. What is this about? I'm praying against 9/11. God, I pray against 9/11. I pray against 9/11. I pray against 9/11. And when we went to meet with the specialist, the bone marrow specialist and the stem cell transplant doctor and the team in Houston, they said, ma'am, Mrs. Suarez, you have a mutated chromosome. You have a mutated chromosome. They said, it's the 9/11 chromosome. You have a chromosome that we call the 9/11 chromosome. It's mutated and it's what has caused the leukemia. Without me understanding, without me knowing, God had us praying for months against 9/11. I didn't even know what 9/11 meant. As soon as the doctor said it, it lifted, because now I know what I was praising and praying against. Now, I'm here to tell you that God has been speaking, and I feel it very strong in the spirit. God has been speaking to certain family. You've been warring even in the spirit against things that you don't even understand what they are, but you sense that there's something you've been warring at. I'm telling you, if God has you praying against it months in advance, it's because I believe that God's going to give you the victory. So rather than fear it, praise God through it. Rather than be concerned, praise God through it, because I am a living witness with my daughter and about to be confirmed with my wife that when you praise God, heaven will come into your situation and do the miraculous like only God can. Would you give him praise and glory in the house?